Well, call the Legacy and Budget Stabilization Fund Advisory Board to order. Clerk will take the roll. You got that?
Representatives, Chairman Kempinick.
Here.
Great. Senator is Vice Chair Klein.
Here.
Dotson Rod.
Senator Heckman sitting in for him until he gets done with conference committee.
Okay. And Mr. Hardmeyer.
Here.
Mr. Rauschenberger. Ms. Sharp.
Here.
You have a quorum.
Okay. Okay, consideration of the minutes of the December 5th, 16 meeting. I think I got, probably didn't get those printed out, did I? Okay, it's been moved. Is there a second to approve the minutes? Second by, motion made by Senator Klein, seconded by Representative Crate. Okay, well, I guess, I'll approve and aye, so any nays? Okay. Well, I guess we can have Mr. Hunter give a little bit of a presentation, and I guess the main thing what wanted to kind of discuss was in this, no, that's all right. I guess, and you've provided the some information here earlier, and I guess what this is probably more about is the mechanics of the earnings and how there's kind of a proposal basically to take 200 million or thereabouts. There's Tax Commissioner Ryan Rauschenberger present too. And I guess what it basically kind of walked through the mechanics of what is our prospects of meeting those goals and stuff on it, I guess is what we kind of wanted to walk through, so, and then update a little bit.
So, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Dave Hunter. I serve as the Executive Director and Chief Investment Officer for the North Dakota Retirement Investment Office. With me today is Eric Chen, who serves as our Senior Investment Analyst, and Darren Schultz, who serves as our Deputy CIO. I do have a presentation I could go through just briefly, just to touch on a few of the high points that were requested in the agenda, and then we'll address those specific questions. So,
okay, yeah, no, there's, and like I said, if you want to start with, because you started with the Budget Stabilization Fund, I guess we can walk through kind of the history of where we're at, where this is at, and then we can just move through your presentation.
Very good. I will do it here as directly as possible. So on page 3, we have the Budget Stabilization Fund, kind of the history from inception to date on contributions, income, and distributions out. That first column is actual contributions in, deposits. The total is about $572.4 million. The next column over, it's titled net increase. That's really investment income, net investment income from inception to date, about $78.8 million. Then we have distributions out of income, that's about $72.9 million. And then withdrawals, the withdrawals that had taken place, this is through February 28th, 2017. It was about $505 million. If you take into account the additional distribution that occurred in March, we have paid out $572.3 million as approved and as stated in the prior regulation. So as of today, we're sitting on about $6 million of investment income. So that's kind of the situation on the...
Okay. Any questions, committee? Okay. So roughly about six... And that, I suppose, is earning a little bit of money too, but this wasn't principal of anything really or anything like that.
It's undistributed income earned over the years, mostly in the past 6 to 7 months since the last June 30. Just as a quick little investment update, so obviously we have far less funds in the Budget Stabilization Fund today. Now, as of February 28th, we had about 2017, we had about $73 million. It was split between Bank of North Dakota cash deposits and cash at Northern Trust and also some short-term fixed income. I highlighted in red on the page kind of the BND match loan CD program. That was effectively all transferred out into the legacy fund between really October and in January of this year. So there is no longer any Bank of North Dakota match loan CDs in the budget stabilization fund. When we go to the legacy fund is where you'll see that. So.
Okay. Any questions, committee? Okay, continue.
The last slide on the budget stabilization fund just shows you for the 1, 3, and 5 years ended, our returns for the 1 year ended 12/31/16 earned about 2.3%, beat our policy benchmark of 1.2% by about 1.16. So that's about $5 million of excess income we've earned on top of the policy benchmarks. Over the last 5 years, we've earned about $30 million of excess return. And again, our policy benchmark is just kind of passive indices. And when we use active management, we were able to create a little bit more income, about $30 million of extra income over the last 5 years.
Okay. Any questions, committee?
The last items then, Mr. Chairman, members of the board, is the Budget Stabilization Fund Investment Policy Statement. There's no recommendations for any changes at this point in time, but I always like to include it whenever we provide an update. So. Okay. Those were the only comments I really had on the Budget Stabilization Fund, and if it pleases the board and the committee, I'd be happy to jump into the Legacy Fund then at this time.
Yeah, I think that's where we want to go.
Very good. On page 11 is just the historic strategic asset allocation for the Legacy Fund. The only reason why I want to start off with this is because I just want to reinforce the fact that since inception, we haven't had the current investment policy statement. We actually were 100% short-term fixed income on the early years. Our current investment allocation is 50% equity, consisting of 30% U.S. equity, 20% broad international equity, 35% fixed income, 10% diversified real assets, which includes infrastructure investments, and 5% in real estate. So that's our current asset allocation policy. On the next page kind of highlights the legacy fund deposits and earnings from inception to date, the ending date being February 28, 2017. So that first box is deposits, the total deposits in the legacy fund from inception through February 28, 2017 is a little under $3.8 billion, $37.99. I highlighted in blue the fiscal year 27 deposits, $258,227,439. The next column over is net earnings. So since inception, we've had net earnings from an accounting standpoint, not from an investment earnings as defined in North Dakota Century Code perspective. Totals about $574 million. During the last 8 months, we've earned about $308 million. That's what's highlighted in the green bold print for the fiscal period ended 2/28/17. Lastly, column D is just shows kind of our total balance as of February 28, 2017 is about $4.73 billion. And then the last column I show earnings is defined in North Dakota Century Code 2110-12, which is what would be transferred in future years as we earn it. So per the opinion that we obtained from the AG, this should be transferred into principal at the end of the biennium. But going forward in future years, earnings is defined in each one of these years would be transferred to the general fund.
So Dave, this like this 153, is that an estimate or is that actual?
That's actual, Mr. Chairman, okay. Members of the board. That $153 million is the actual earnings as defined in North Dakota Century Code from July 1, 2016 through February 28, 2017. Okay. So for 8 months.
Okay. Representative Crate. Yeah, just.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Dave, if I understand it correctly, we're going to withdraw. Is it $160 million out of the earnings?
When they're shooting at $200 now.
It's $200 now. They bumped it up another $40. So when's the anticipated withdrawal of that?
Well, that's one of the things that we've been discussing, and that's, you know, committee input. I think what they'd like to see happen is that the first year get, you know, with, you know, the first year's earnings get put into the general fund, I think, and then the second year gets to be a little fuzzier, I guess, as far as when, because what is the, you know, when do you know what the earnings are? I guess that was one of the things we've been, because I think I've talked to you before about that, but when do the earnings actually, when do you know what the earnings are?
So, Mr. Chairman, members of the board.
What kind of lag you got, I guess, is what.
Sure, yeah, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. We have a fiscal year end June 30th for all of our clients with a few possible exceptions. It's generally 60 to 75 days after that fiscal year end is when we firm up our numbers. We have a pretty good knowledge or insight into what it is as we get closer to the end of each fiscal year, but we don't quote-unquote finalize and audit our numbers until 60 to 90 days after each fiscal year end. So if you say 90 days from June 30th, 2019, it would be 90 days from there, it would be September 30th, 2019. We generally have audited sign off on our financial statements in October, but that's more for disclosure items than it is for financial results. Historically, we have shared our financial earnings with the State Investment Board at the August meeting, saying that it's still subject to change, but it's generally a pretty firm number at that point in time. So don't know in advance of kind of auditing our numbers.
Okay. Because that's what, you know, it gets, because what the reason why we've used, you know, there's just some set numbers. I early on, I tried, because I think it was from our December, we kind of had you, you know, we kind of started this conversation.
Sure.
And it got to, not to make it complicated, and that's why I think we just went with a fixed number of, you know, and that's kind of, I think, what happened, what was in the budget to start with is roughly at 2% or something, 160 million. And the 200 million, you know, depends on where you're at, you know, I mean, ups it a little bit, but it, I guess, and that's one thing. And I don't know, committee, you know, basically, you know, we're going to meet the 200, you know, I mean, we'll have to, that's what's in the budget, I guess, and stuff on it. But the way the Constitution reads is the earnings goes into the general fund. See, and I guess that'll become probably an ending fund balance that'll be used is probably committee, is that how you're understanding this, or is that, because that's one of the questions, you know, how we've tried to figure out how to, you know, but I don't know how else to go about, because I've been feeling like an investment salesman here the last few weeks, because past earnings don't equal future earnings.
Absolutely.
And that's where it gets tough to, you can't guarantee anything in it, and that's where it gets tough to do this. So I just comments from you, Representative Craig.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. So we're anticipating then we've got the 150, almost 154. There'll be enough earnings for the first 160. We're not going to have 160.
Well, no, I think this here is the 17 that you got. It'll be fiscal year 17.
Okay, so that's the end of 17.
This will be June 30th of 17, if I'm reading this right. So this will go, all of this will go into the corpus of the fund. And then we start with zero again here. We'll start with zero.
And then this is the end bill, of the, they'll tap it till we get up to 200. Is that what I'm assuming through the biennium then?
And that's, go ahead.
Well, and then as I'm looking at it, you can't, it doesn't become available till the end of each biennium, right?
Yeah.
So whatever that definition is, nothing until the end.
Yeah, see that's.
Then it all goes, is that right?
Right.
Whatever that.
Okay, so.
Definition.
That's what, how are you reading this, Pam? Because that's where it gets, you know, because what we're looking at is, should we start taking cash, you know, advising to take cash and start setting it aside, or do we got to pull investments apart at the end, or how, see, that's what the mechanic, that's why I wanted to get in, this meeting's about is how the mechanics of how the board is understanding how this gets put into the general fund.
So we can't get that transfer until the very end of the biennium, and it'll actually be after the biennium closes, but we'll be calculating it in the time that we can apply it back. So it might not be the very exact number, because it'll be a few weeks after the biennium ends, but it'll be very, very close. But, and so now I'm hearing that you guys are saying you want 200 instead of the 160 that is in the revenue forecast now, so I suppose that will be changed in the OMB bill or something like that. I think that is a very good question for Mr. Hunter to ask on how we can or determine if we can achieve that, because we can only transfer realized earnings. So I don't think we want them to sell off equities in order to or, you know, do anything drastic to make that number, but.
Well, and that's, see, that's a big, Representative Creek.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yeah, I, you know, this is only earnings. I mean, we're not tapping any principal to reach that balance. I mean, whatever is going to be there, if it's short of 200, I mean, that's what it's going to be, I would assume.
So. Senator Klein. Maybe for Dave, how do you envision this, Dave? You're the man behind the curtain. what do you see is how this is going to funnel out? And because the onus will be on sort of on you to make sure that we're making our obligations.
So, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Senator Klein, Pam did a really nice job of explaining it very well. So, end of the day, we're asked to provide an estimate. And an estimate is just that, it can change. The estimate that we originally provided, or most recently provided, was $160 million. And that $160 million was derived with a lot of math that Darren and Eric assisted in coming up with. But very simply, if you want to just do a back of the envelope type of calculation, we assumed we had about $4 billion in the legacy fund, and that's a conservative estimate where we stand now. We were assumed we're going to earn hopefully at least 2%. So $4 billion times 2% is about $80 million a year. Times 2 years is $160 million. If you look at the last two fiscal years that were completed, fiscal year 2015 and fiscal year 2016, just coincidentally, it happens to be about $160 million. If you take the 95 and the 65 and we get it, it's about $160 million. If you look at what we've actually earned the last 8 months, and earnings as defined in North Dakota Center Code 2110-2, it's about $153 million. That number can go down, right? We haven't finished the period. If we were to have a significant market correction, you could have losses that are realized serve to cause that number to go down. So although estimates are very challenging to make, the estimate that we came up with originally was $160 million. If the legislator desires to push it up to $200 million, I'm not saying that that's unreasonable because we're at $153 million in the first 8 months. That looks very achievable. But I just caution anybody for budgeting purposes, you can't have market corrections. And when markets correct, that $153 million that we have for the last 8 months could actually go down. It's not locked in because it's a net realized gains and losses. So I'm probably not providing as much insight as you would like. You would like to know, have a number that we could lock and load and be done with, but it's really challenging to do that.
And Mr. Chairman, but Dave, that's, you hit on exactly what that number is. We don't know.
We don't know.
Exactly.
It's an estimate.
And it's, you know, it's a market-driven number.
Absolutely.
But certainly we seem to be on an upswing.
Yes.
And certainly hope that we hang in there. So if we make, if the number continues to move this way, July 1st, we get that big dump in there and then start the hopper's empty again and we start filling it for the next year.
That's right.
So whatever that number is on July, on that date, that's what we get.
Well, see, this is all, we're not to June 30, 2017 yet. So all we're trying to provide an estimate for July 1, 2017 through June 30, 2019. These numbers are helpful for providing insight into it, but have no impact on what that number is going to be. Right, it's good historical experience, but right, historical experience doesn't mean that's what's going to happen. If we have a huge market correction on July 1, which I'm sure we won't have, but if something were to happen, we would be starting in a huge hole, and it might be very difficult then to even hit the 160. We're asked to provide an estimate that's very challenging to do. But
see, and that's committee, and that's kind of why we needed this conversation.
Sure.
Because it is, you know, I mean, everybody's seen all these investment commercials. There's no guarantees in what happens, and well, that'd be another one that we've had conversations about that here. Just Treasurer Schmidt,
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, for the record, I'm State Treasurer Kelly Schmidt. As far as deposits to the legacy fund and as far as they are put in relating to a biennium, there is a 2-month lag on deposits to the legacy fund from the oil and gas distribution formula. So in essence, as we listed in the CAFR, the last deposit to the legacy fund for a biennium is made in August. Mm-hmm. Legislative Council has determined that the last deposit to a biennium for the legacy fund is in June. So we have some conflicting information there, but when we report earnings after the deposit is made in August. Therefore, RIO would not be able to determine the true end of the biennium earnings to the legacy fund until after the month of August has been reconciled.
Yeah.
So I'm just, that's out there. It's a 2-month delay. So it may be October before we truly know. And I just want to make sure everybody is aware of that.
See, and that's where, we've read the Constitution when we first started this, and it could have been written better, you know, because of it's a set date of when earning, you know, when the earnings part was to June of 17. So, you know, and that's, but I think the Attorney General kind of put the earnings of, but did that say fiscal year on his? Or how did that word that? See.
Do you recall, Pam? I don't remember off the top of my head.
Okay.
So, but depending on the definition of a biennium relating to the distribution, the end of the biennium for the legacy fund distribution or deposit, the deposit that we make, the end of the biennium for the legacy fund is considered August.
We might need another opinion on
that's
that
what Ryan and I were this is something that just came forward as we've been talking about this because as you are talking and there's different interpretations to us it's the way we have always done it, but we may need to get some additional information.
Well, we'll probably have a committee discussion or go ahead, Pam.
I could add something about that. Even though it is maybe going to be August or later on that you determine what the real true earnings were, we're still going to have to take whatever number is the best estimate by like July 27th. Otherwise, we have no means of getting that revenue into the correct biennium. Mm-hmm. And then we don't have it. So.
Okay, Pam, and that brings up another, because I know we've gone around about this, like the way OMB, but you can't budget. You can't budget estimates, though, can you? Or how do you, because we, you know, last summer we were talking about, you know, holding off or doing, but you can't, it'd have to be an appropriated number. Doesn't mean it's, you have to have actual, because we went around when this budget stabilization fund was getting worked out, but you need actual dollars or actually, you need to be pretty sure that's going to show up before you guys recognize it, doesn't it? Before OMB recognizes it, or how does that
work? Well, when we get it in the general fund, it will be the actual dollars that, okay. But as far as doing preparing an estimate for what those dollars might be, that is totally an estimate, and everything in the revenue forecast is an estimate.
Yeah.
But, so, yeah, it's scary to budget on the unknown. You have to do it. There's no getting around it.
Mr. Chairman, don't we do that with sales tax and we do it with everything? It's all unknown. If the economy has a downturn, we all of a sudden we're short and we have to.
Yeah. Well, that's like every year. Yeah. And that's part of the, because I know we went because I know there's got to be a dollar amount at some point in time here that we, to have you use that, it's got to be actually something that's showing up. You can't estimate it at some point. That's why I just kind of.
Dave, you won't manage the portfolio to somehow try to achieve a projection of $200 million.
No.
You know.
Yeah, we're long-term investors, right? We're doing what we
think. Yeah, so I guess that was my point, is that we're sticking true to our asset allocation.
Yes.
Not going to change our philosophy or anything based on a $200 million bogey.
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, Mr. Hardmire, that is correct. We're long-term. These are just, for lack of better terms, kind of arbitrary points in time. They're very important because of their fiscal year ends, but we're managing for the long-term. We don't know what's going to happen June 30, July 1, or any other day of the year that's going to cause us to change. We're making long-term decisions.
See, and this is kind of the conversation, I think, when we first started this was we were trying to manage for the 15% too, and you can't. That's what's tough about this. I guess the biggest thing is the conversation is how to minimize the impacts to investment. If you guys start tearing them apart, how do you, you know, because if we got a, you know, and this is what gets tough, you know, because, you know, you don't want to manage for an event, but there is an event that's going to happen, you know, that we know is going to happen on either June 30th of 2019. And that's what I'm understanding, and I think that's what everybody's talking about now, is that there's an, you know, that there's going to be whatever the earnings are, you know, I mean, up to, you know, I mean, if it ain't 200 million, then it's going to be what it is. But if it's over, you know, it'll probably be an ending fund balance. But see, that's what I've tried to tell these guys, that this isn't as easy as, you know, because they were thinking we could pull it apart, you know, start saving cash for, you know, start putting cash aside for the, for investments, you know, and not tear apart investments, because we've had this discussion and stuff on it. And I was telling them, I don't think it's as easy as that. And that's, so, Senator Klein.
And just so I can get my head around it, I'm not an appropriator, and you guys have been digging in all those numbers, but say we're just with, it's flat from now till the end of the, it's July, is that what we're, at the end of July, and we're at, we have 153 million, and that's all we got. And then we get that rolls in. And then next July in 2018, that number, how does that work? Is there going to be any number there? If we even have something, there's a potential there that it could be another 153 million, because we continue to grow. If things even hold even rather than are on an uptick.
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, Senator Klein, so that 153 million, that's for the 8 months ended February 28, 2017. If nothing happens between now and June 30th, that would be the amount for the fiscal year ended June 30, 2017. That's going to roll into the principal based upon our understanding. When we get into the next biennium, all the funds really don't get, quote unquote, appropriated or deposited in the general fund until the end of the next biennium. And that's where Treasurer Smith was kind of making a point of clarification. We're getting some deposits in July. We get in discussions, was it actually deposited before June 30th? But it's really, there's no mechanism for us to transfer funds to the general fund prior to sometime after June 30th.
So, Jerry, in other words, you can't bank it and say, well, we've earned $150 million, so let's park this over here. And then it's all end of the biennium you look at.
Which complicates things a little. It does. I guess, well, one thing, I we probably will have to have some, what Treasurer Schmidt brought up, probably will have to have some, probably a little more clarification on year, I mean, what a year means. I think, you know, I think the intent to probably, and when this was put together, was the year was when the biennium begins and when the biennium ends is probably what the intent was, but I don't know if that's written down any place, or is it Pam, or, you know,
in the Constitution?
Yeah, it just says year.
End of the biennium.
Yeah, or does it say biennium in it? Yeah, I think it does.
It does.
Yeah, it does. Yes. Representative Craig.
Yep, thanks, Mr. Chairman. So when the earnings are anticipated to move somewhere, and some it will be in OMB, there will be an appropriation, or how is that money going to move? It's got to, I mean, Pam, could you tell me?
To get that money into the general fund?
Yeah.
At when the biennium is closed out and they figure out their best number, David will transfer some money through the treasurer's office. It'll go to the Bank of North Dakota, and it will be credited to the general fund. So then that will, and we'll apply it back to the biennium, so it will be show up as revenue in the 17-19 biennium.
Okay, so at some point, is there some action by the legislature?
Nope.
That's a clean move.
It moves. That money will just get there, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
See, and that's what makes it tough, though, because we've picked an arbitrary number of what's going to be, you know, budgeted basically for the 17-19 biennium, because that's been appropriated, is not money in the bank, and that's what a lot of people assume. Well, it is in the bank in a way, but it's how it works. Well, it isn't. Well, it's in a different bank. Well, no, that's what I said. It's just in a different bank. I was just, but that's the problem, you know, you run into. Yes. Because it could be more, it could be less. We don't know. But that's where it's an arbitrary number. And, you know, you can, you know, we know how it got one way, where another 40 million kicks it up probably closer to a 3% or somewhere in there that it's going to have to return to get that for what's going in and stuff on it. I guess the other question is then, too, is that, you know, how much money does you know, this fund, because you're buying and selling all the time and stuff on it, can a person, and Mr. Hardmeyer brought that up about, you know, we don't want to manage for this, but in a way, how does a person, because if you start tearing apart, if it starts costing us money to tear apart investments, how do we, you know, how do we do that? Or how, sure, you know, because you're buying, you know, there's stuff moving back and forth all the time and stuff on it. If there is, how do you, what is the mechanics of trying to put this together, you know, at the end, you know, like 2 years from now?
Sure. So we're fortunate to still have funds coming in off of the oil and gas taxes. Yeah. So we have the ability to manage it over a course of a 3 or 4 month period. Then we have the ability to say, maybe we're getting 30 or 40 million in a month. We can take that new cash flows and use that to make the deposit, as opposed to pulling money from long-term investments. Having said that, generally when we've done these types of transitions, when, like most recently with the Budget Stabilization Fund, I think we started in October and we kind of wrapped up in March. It was about a 6 month time frame. And it just allows us to communicate with our managers and just, as much as possible, minimize transaction costs. So having several months of inflows from the legacy fund and the ability to, we will have insight into these numbers as we move forward to kind of manage the process. So.
And that would be certainly a job that you would do. It's not like we're going to just, we need it today. We said 160 million. You make it work. I don't think that's what we're going to expect. I think that would not be to the advantage of anyone.
Right. No, it's nice that we're talking. If we're talking 160 million on over $4 billion, right? That's a pretty small, right? It's about 4%. So we have a lot of other ability to manage to make that happen. So right, we have.
What I think we'll do while Representative Kepnick's just going out to vote quickly in the other room so we can move the governor's budget along, by the way. If you want to just turn that, we can maybe talk a bit about the net earnings here. We can always come back, because I know he's an appropriator and he likes to be engaged in that. But do you want to speak to the actual performance versus the benchmark?
Absolutely. Mr. Vice Chairman, members of the advisory board, on page 13, this is some interim results, so these are unaudited, but the legacy fund has earned 7.89% for the 8 months ended February 28, 2017, surpassing its policy benchmark of 6.5. Strong returns in U.S. equities up 15 to 21% between large cap and small cap. International equities up 12% and even real estate up 4%. Did a lot to improve our overall kind of fund balance and returns. If we did have one area that was challenged, it was kind of our diversified real assets portfolio. Diversified real assets actually lost about 1.4%, and it's just a function of kind of a good component of that is has a fixed income allocation in global tips, which lost a couple percent over the past year. But big picture, we earned close to 8%, about 7.89% over the last 8 months. And if you just wanted to say, geez, how did big picture we get to that? We earned about 15% in equities, and that's about 50% of our asset allocation. We earned about 1% in fixed income in our other infrastructure and diversified real assets. So 15% on equities, about 1% on everything else, including fixed income. That's 16% total, but that's a 50% weighting, so you kind of cut it in half, and it's about 8%, and that's about what we earned, so about 7.89%. So 50% equity, 50% of our 50% of our investments were invested in equity, earned about 15%, 50% were invested in fixed income and other real assets, earned about 1%. So,
and at this point, ahead of our goal.
Well ahead of our goal. The goal is, the target, long-term goal is 6.4%. The policy benchmark based upon the actual underlying performance of the markets the last 8 months was about 6.5%. So we beat it by about 1.39%. So pretty good overall. The next page on page 15 kind of just highlights our 1, 3, and 5 year returns for the period ended 12/31/2016. We spend a lot of time when we get to quarter ends kind of analyzing our numbers, and we share it with the State Investment Board and all of our clients. So for the 1 year ended 12/31/16, we earned a little over 8.1%, exceeding our policy benchmark of 6.4 by over 1.7%. That translates in about $60 million of additional income. So overall, for the 1 year ended 12/31/16, the legacy fund earned about $300 million, and about $240 million was due to kind of core investments, kind of passive indices, and about $60 million was through successful active management. Over the last 5 years, we've earned about 3.6%. I know that's far less than the 8.1, but again, that's because we had a big chunk of our investments in short-term fixed income the first early years.
And Dave, are we totally... We're fully invested now with the way we had... our pie had been divided?
Absolutely. We are fully invested according to the way our pie is invested. If you look at page 16, this gives a comparison of our actual and target asset allocation. So the target asset allocation for large cap equity is 22%. Our actual is about 23%. We're a little bit above that. And again, that's really just a function of large caps doing as well as they did. Same thing with small cap. We're a little bit over. We're generally always within 1-2% of our target asset allocations. And again, overall big picture target asset allocation is 50% equity, 35% fixed income, and 15% kind of real estate and other diversified real assets. But So fixed income is a challenging market, right? Rates rose a lot after the presidential election. Fixed income investments really, they only earned about 1.17% for the last 8 months. And as disappointing that was, it actually far exceeded the Barclays aggregate, the benchmark, which was negative because of the rise in rates. So our fixed income managers did a nice job of positioning our fixed income investments for a rising rate environment, so they were able to eke out a little bit of return, a little over 1%, even though the benchmark actually declined by 1.68. So another reason why we like active management, particularly in fixed income in this continuing low rate environment. So that is really all I had for prepared remarks. The other thing that I have in here is the investment policy statement. I don't recommend any changes to it at this time, but what Darren, Eric, and I will do working with the State Investment Board is look to propose an asset liability study at the end of this legislative session to make sure that we're consistently reviewing it on a regular basis. It's been probably 4 or 5 years since we did the original asset allocation study. It's just prudent to do it every 4 or 5 years, and we would look to do that over the course of the remainder of this calendar year.
Okay, any questions on what we've up to this point? And okay, well, I know we're going to have to leave by 5, but yes, I'd like you to cover that last page.
So the last page here, or one of the last couple pages, is on investment fees and expenses, legacy funds. So this is for the fiscal year end. We do a kind of a deep dive on expenses at the end of every fiscal year. So during the last year, expenses went up a little bit, went from about 33 basis points to 36, or from about 1/3% to just over 1/3%. That's not much, and it's really, that's a function of, we were fully allocated in our asset allocation for the full last year. We weren't fully allocated in our asset allocation prior to that. So pretty low. Still nice low fees, 0.36%. The next page just kind of highlights kind of investment fees and expenses for all of our State Investment Board clients. So over the last 3 to 4 fiscal years, we've been able to drive fees down from about 2/3% down to about 0.4%. And I don't know, maybe that doesn't sound like a lot, but if you look at the absolute numbers, back in fiscal year ended June 2013, we spent about $45 million on fees, but we had less than $7 billion in assets. We're managing close to $11 billion, so almost doubling that, and we're still paying about the same amount in fees. So to get the ability to leverage our growth in the legacy fund to help us get better pricing with our investment managers is very important, and Eric and Darren have done a wonderful job working with our investment managers to help us drive costs down. So the less we pay in fees, the better our returns, plain and simple.
Great. Now that looks certainly interesting that we've been able to manage that, and it's created a lot of savings. Any questions for Dave on this particular page? Committee, do we have to move? Is there anything that we need to do to make
the job of the appropriators? We're just listening. We're taking in information. We're having our meeting. We aren't troubled. I'm not as troubled as Representative Kempinick is on how you're going to do that, because I trust that you folks are going to work with OMB and the bank, and we all make this work. So is there any other discussion? I'll just let Representative Kempinick is here. If there's any other questions to come before the committee before we all move on. Where are we at? We are
down on the
are there any interested parties here? The crowd is thin, but certainly impressive. So, all right, committee. With that, I would
be ready to adjourn, but it's up to
you. Okay. No, that's, I think we understand. I think the only thing, does any of the committee feel that we need any more clarification on anything, or? Okay. We'll just let her roll till, I think what we'll probably do, committee, is we'll probably have a June meeting before the next budget section. We need to make a report to that. And then I think what we'll wind up doing is we'll choose our membership or at that time or who's, because I think we need to, don't we need to have chairman votes, or do we need to do that stuff? Yeah. So I guess that's, we'll probably have that discussion in June then. And so otherwise, if there's
we'll
nothing, yep. Okay, second. Okay,
second.
We're adjourned till the call of the chair. Okay.
Oh, yes, that's right. That's right. Thank you. Yes, yes. Yes. Well, I want to get how we compare with other countries. Yeah, it's a good story.